On August 15, 1590, two English ships, the Moonlight and the Hopewell, dropped anchor off the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Beyond the slender strip of sand and dense forest, a hazy sun descended over the Pamlico Sound, its calm waters seeming to stretch as far to the west as the Atlantic did to the east. Gripping the rail of the Hopewell as the ship rose and fell on the gentle ocean swells, Governor John White watched with growing elation as a great plume of smoke climbed into the sticky air of the late afternoon sky. Andrew Lawler. My name is Becca Reiswig, and you're listening to So That's What Happened, a podcast where I share some of my favorite stories. History is full of engaging and fascinating topics, whether we go back to the dawn of time or only a few years ago. So, settle in as we explore one of my favorites. Settling a new land is always a difficult task, whether it's already inhabited or not. This trial becomes even more difficult when you make enemies of the locals and your support system from back home is embroiled in their own problems. In the late 1580s, British colonists experienced this exact situation when they attempted to establish a colony in what is now Dare, North Carolina. In normal circumstances, this attempt and ultimate failure would likely be nothing more than an interesting footnote in the history of European colonization in the Americas. But there was more to the story that turns it into a mystery that has lasted centuries. Many of us know the bare bones of the story of the lost colony of Roanoke, particularly if you've spent any time studying colonial U.S. history. In the Chesapeake Bay area of North Carolina's Outer Banks coastline, John White established a settlement on behalf of Sir Walter Raleigh. He soon had to depart back to England for supplies, but was stuck in Europe for longer than anticipated due to ongoing hostilities between England and Spain. When he finally made it back to the colony, it was gone. Only the word Croatoan, carved into a tree, offered any clues as to what had happened to the colonists. To this day, their fates are a mystery. Let's start our exploration with British and Spanish relations. In broad strokes, they weren't great. Spain was mobilizing its Great Armada and was one of, if not the greatest power on the seas by European estimation. There were a great many Spanish merchant ships that made the journey from the Americas to Europe heavy laden with riches from the New World that required protection. Protection from both independent pirates and sanctioned privateers, pirates that operated on behalf of a nation. The late 1500s were a tense time between the two empires, both on the shores of the New World and at sea. It was only a matter of time before there was open warfare, and many feared the tension would lead to fighting on European soil as well. The dominance of the Spanish Armada did not last long. In fact, it lasted only a few short months. But this was just a small portion of the Anglo-Spanish War. Hostilities did not end with the defeat of the Armada in 1588, but the British did lax their concentrated effort to build a counterfleet, allowing for supply ships to once more depart from British shores for the American coasts. By the late 1500s, Spain and Portugal had already begun establishing colonies in the New World, though they never ventured far into North America. However, there were few attempts by the British or French to start long-term colonies. Instead, most of England's efforts went towards exploration and fighting the Spanish. It wasn't until 1607 that the first successful British settlement was established in Jamestown, Virginia. If you've been paying attention to the dates, you may have noticed that today's topic takes place nearly two decades before British colonization of America really began. Perhaps the first real attempt at colonizing the New World by the British was the Lane Colony, the predecessor to the lost colony we are here to learn about. In 1584, Queen Elizabeth I had granted the land south of Newfoundland to Sir Walter Raleigh, with the stipulation that he found a colony by 1591, or he would lose all rights to colonization of the land. Much of the territory he had permission from the British throne to settle was already under Spanish control. But the Outer Banks looked to be promising. There was some speculation that a passage to Asia may be there, and, perhaps more importantly for the crown at the time, it would be the perfect place to establish a base for attacks on Spanish holdings and ships. Interestingly, and part of a story worthy of its own telling, Sir Raleigh was not allowed to leave the Queen's side, and instead was forced to delegate the exploration and settling of the land granted to him. For the first attempt at a settling Virginia, Ralph Lane was appointed governor, and 600 men departed England, 300 of which would be staying to establish the colony. This was largely a military effort, with priorities placed on exploration and discovery of exploitable natural resources, such as minerals. Amongst those involved was the artist John White. His name will be important later. If the first successful colony wasn't founded until 1607, and this was happening in 1585, clearly the colony failed. Most of the supplies from the ships, the Tiger, were lost when it ran aground of a shoal. This meant that the colonists would be largely dependent on the locals for food to make it through the harsh winter. Additionally, the Europeans were unable to find the wealth of silver and gold they had expected. Morale was low. As with most of these stories, relations with the locals quickly soured. The Secotoan chief, Permisipen, was killed by the English after a series of rather unfortunate events and actions on both sides. Lane decided to abandon the colony in 1586. He was able to get transport back to England for the remaining colonists with Sir Francis Drake. Despite the failure of the first try and likely hostile environment should they return, Raleigh decided to make another attempt, probably unwilling to lose his claim while he still had time. Anticipating that Roanoke would not be safe for a new colony, the Chesapeake Bay was chosen as a site for the second colony. John White, the artist from the first colony that I said would be important, was chosen to be the governor this time around. He brought with him about 115 colonists, including his pregnant daughter and her husband, and departed in May of 1587. They planned to stop by Roanoke to confer with some men who had been left behind. White and his people were instead left on Roanoke. They searched for the party that had been left behind, but found only bones. Events moved quickly from there. One of the colonists, George Howe, was killed by Native Americans while crabbing alone. Peace overtures with a local tribe, the Croatoan, were made with the help of Manateo, a Native American who had spent time in England, and a fascinating story in his own right. A strike was made against the tribe who had killed Howe, but they were expecting it and had left, resulting in the colonists accidentally attacking their new allies, the Croatoan, who had been looting the abandoned village. Manteo once more smoothed things over for the British. White's daughter, Eleanor Dare, gave birth to Virginia Dare, a name you'll likely recognize if you spent time in the Outer Banks area, or Virginia at large. By August, the fleet that had brought the colonists was ready to return to England, and White and his people had decided to move about 50 miles to the north. They were, however, short on supplies, and White reluctantly agreed to return with the fleet to petition fresh supplies and men for the colony. He left on August 27th, 1587, saying goodbye to his daughter and granddaughter, neither of which he would ever see again. Upon returning to England, White discovered that the country was gathering every ship fit for battle together to combat the Spanish. Finding a way to return to Virginia was nearly impossible, but he persevered and in 1588 eventually secured two small ships that had been deemed unsuitable for warfare. The captains apparently disagreed, however, and attacked several Spanish ships for their loot, but were ultimately seized by French ships. Roughly 24 men and all the supplies destined for the colony were lost, and the ships returned to England. White was forced to wait another 2 years before he was able to return to the Roanoke colony in 1590. White returned to Virginia with a privateering expedition led by John Watts. Two of his ships were diverted to take White to Roanoke. They found the colony abandoned. Anything that could be easily moved and taken had been. A chest White had left behind had been looted. The only clue as to where the colonists had gone that they were able to find was a tree with C-R-O carved on it, and a post with Croatoan carved on it. Believing they were clues left by the colonists, saying that they had joined with the Croatoan tribe, a tribe the colony had good relations with, thanks to Manteo, plans were made to go to the island the tribe called home. Once more, however, misfortune struck for White, and one of the anchor lines on one of the two ships with him snapped. Deeming staying on the shoreline too risky, they were forced to leave. A compromise was struck, and plans were made to winter in the Caribbean and come back to investigate in the spring. But the ship was blown off course and forced to return to England instead. There were several subsequent contemporary expeditions into the missing colonists, but none were fruitful. Sir Walter Raleigh himself went in 1595, though it seemed this was a misdirect from his search for El Dorado, and he ignored the area after that, perhaps with the thought that as long as the colonists may yet live, his claim on the land would stand. Bartholomew Gilbert led a search in 1603, but was killed by natives. Next in line was John Smith. He was told of a tribe with some European customs by the Powhatans. He sent maps back to England and ordered men to search the areas, but nothing was ever found. William Strachey alleged in 1610 that the Powhatans had been responsible for the massacre of the Roanoke colonists, who were living peacefully with another tribe. While possible, it is also possible that this account was fabricated or exaggerated by Strachey due to his abhorrence of the Powhatans. In the early 1700s, the historian John Lawson did some poking around on Roanoke Island and, after speaking with some of the local tribes, came to the conclusion that the colonists had joined with the Hatteras tribe. Now, let's look at a few theories about what happened. One of those popular theories, and the one that tends to come up most often in my experience in pop culture, is that they joined one of the local tribes. Contemporary reports and stories from the local tribes do support this theory, leaving the main mystery being which tribe they joined with. Of course, there is also the theory that the colonists were wiped out, likely by the Powhatans, but also possibly by the Spanish. Spain did know about the colony and were actively looking for its location. However, they continued to look for it into the 1600s. There are countless other theories, ranging from the possible to the downright fantastical. So that's what happened, or at least the part that we know. The story of the lost colony of Roanoke is an ongoing one, with research and fieldwork proposing new answers and asking new questions as we continue to search for the missing colonists of the Roanoke colony. If you enjoyed this topic and want to learn more, a few resources I found helpful were The Lost Colony and Hatteras Island by Scott Dawson, EncyclopediaVirginia.org's article on the Roanoke colonies, and The Secret Token, Myth, Obsessions, and the Search for the Lost Colony of Roanoke by Andrew Lawler. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it, as well as subscribing and sharing. If you'd like to directly help me, you can head over to patreon.com/sothatswhathappened or click the link in the show notes. If you have any topics you'd like to hear me cover or questions or comments about this or past stories, you can send an email to sothatswhathappenedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as STWHpodcast. From that original colony sprang seven names that still feature on the landscape. Roanoke, Cape Fear, Cape Hatteras, the Chowan and Neuse Rivers, Chesapeake, and Virginia. Bill Bryson.